And usually it takes a little while for you to actually see me come up so you can like look at the chat and stuff. So
definitely.
All right, so on my side, okay, it shows that I'm live. Okay. Yeah, I spent a good portion of the afternoon just fighting with my Prius. I had to replace a part in my Prius, and it was just one of those things where you're working in a very small area, and it's just so frustrating. I don't know why I do it to myself.
I dipped into that video briefly. Briefly. I'm not a car.
Mm-hmm. Did you get to the part where I was swearing?
No, I missed that.
Okay, that's a little later in.
Like, you change your oil too, right?
Yeah.
Do you, like, is it purely a function of saving money, or you just like doing it, or you don't want...
It's convenient. It's more convenient for me just to do it at home than to go somewhere, you know? And I've had a lot of bad experiences in the past where you go to one of these quick change oil places, and they don't tighten the oil plug, or they don't replace the oil filter. They do real, you know, half-ass work, so...
Right.
This way I know it's actually done. Or they put really terrible oil in, you know. So I'm used to doing it, so I keep doing it. Oh, six people watching already. All right, so people must have been waiting. They look forward to this every 2 weeks. Mark it on their calendar.
Yeah, I don't know why, but...
Yeah. Did you hear any more from Elf?
Oh, no, he hasn't. He's probably somewhat lost interest, knowing that what time he'd have to get up.
Yeah.
Right. I'm trying to adjust.
I can tell. Can you see my headset? My headset broke today. It's just... I have to keep
no.
It's like half hanging on my head. I have to get a new headset.
You got a dark background, so it's not...
Yeah, it's just... It broke.
Yeah.
It's all right. I was looking for an excuse to get another one, so... All right, seven people. Nice.
So you're live, so now the challenge is to always try and find out...
Oh, you got the notification? Oh.
No. Now I got it.
Okay.
Okay, no one's chatted yet,
no,
right?
Yes. Someone say something. We want to make sure that you can hear us and see us properly. Well, you can see it. You can see us, right, Marty?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Hello, nine guys, whoever you are.
Oh, wow. Barty Mac. that must be Hunka or something.
he was there once before, right?
Was Barty Mac there? Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Huh, okay. Wow, see, you got a following, Marty.
I don't know.
No one reverses the letters on my name.
because that's an actual account. Someone had to create an account.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I right? So. You know?
Yeah, I think.
that's
what I mean. That's a lot of work. They must be into you. Rocky Top. I know Rocky Top.
That's Meep from Germany, right?
Oh, Meep. Okay.
Hey.
Was he like going the forums like by like Meepmeyer or something like that? Or I remember, you know, Meep.
Sometimes the nicknames kind of blend in my... I mean, I know them when I recognize them. I see them all the time, but I never actually pronounce it in my head. So I think it's like Meep.
I think I've seen them on the forums. It gets confusing because you have the forum handles, then you have their YouTube names, and you know sometimes Facebook, and it's
right.
I just give up. I don't try to keep track of them. 2 a.m. here. Oh, wow. See, that's hardcore.
Yeah. Wow. Are you working together tomorrow? Meep. What's your actual like name, your first name? You could probably tell us your first name, right? Or is it a German name I would have no idea how to pronounce?
Well, he doesn't work tomorrow, so that's good.
Yeah, that's good. Do you work at all, ever?
Simon.
Simon, all right. Hey, Simon. Good to have a first name associated with you. Finally. Yeah. No, you must work because you're a pretty young guy. I have seen a few videos of you, right? Sound like you're retired.
Okie dokie.
Well, let's see. I can start off a little bit here.
You have a lot of Z10 stuff to talk about, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I'll kick it off to you first. I commented on your Facebook posting about the mileage,
and
then
today
I saw your video.
Mm-hmm.
So, some of you guys, I'm sure, didn't see it, but Duff reported that he got about 30 miles on his 18L with 43% left battery.
Yeah, at the end of the ride, it was reporting 43%, yep.
And that's like really impressive, because I have, from my experience, you know, kind of all wheels, they seem to consume the same energy at about the same rate, and I have 2,000-watt wheels right now, the Tesla and the Z10,
mm-hmm.
and they're more or less comparable, and I always call those wheels 35-mile wheels. Like, if you kind of ride them average speeds, you're not racing all the time, you're going slow, you're, you know, a mix. Mm-hmm. They're about 35-mile wheels.
And that's what I expect, too, on that, the pack in the 18L, because it's basically the same size pack as the, like you said, the Tesla and the Z10, too. They're all right around 1,000 watt-hours.
And you can push, I've gotten up to, I can't remember the Tesla, I'm pretty sure I've gotten over 40 miles on that, and I got 42 miles on the Z10 a week or two ago. I did a long range test, but I had to baby the speed. I made a point of not, more or less, not going over 20, kind of sticking the 18, 19 miles an hour, and I was able to really squeeze 42 miles out of the Z10. So when you get 30 miles and you still have 40 plus battery, and you weren't, actually, I don't recall, what were your speeds in general?
20-ish.
20-ish. So
but you were, like, you're working then. It's crazy, because like on the ride out there, it was almost 15 miles on the ride out there, and the vast majority of that I was into a constant headwind, you know, because the roads down here, they're all like this, they're all straight roads, so there's no break. It was a constant headwind the whole time, and then I had that same constant wind pushing me in the way back. But what, like on the way out there, I don't know if you saw the whole video, but I was reading 59% halfway,
right?
So meaning that I only used 16-17% on the way back. So I mean, obviously a tailwind helps you, but I can't believe it would help that much. It just, I don't know. That's why I want to do a follow-up ride to like Dunkin' Donuts tomorrow and see what kind of numbers I get there, because that, like you said, it doesn't seem that a pack could give you that kind of mileage.
But you got it.
I did.
And I bet the tailwind. Yeah, no, I bet the tailwind helped, because I've had rides where I'm fighting a pretty good headwind from the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. When I ride the river trails, they pretty much lead out to the ocean. Might be 15 miles away, but so you can get a pretty good breeze.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a battery killer. So if you had good wind on your back, it's nothing like riding with wind on your back, right?
It's real
pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get a lot of wind noise, and you can really go fast without even knowing it.
Yeah, well, that definitely is what happened.
So that's really good to know.
Yeah, we'll see how tomorrow's ride stacks up. See if I get similar numbers. But so far, that's the first long ride I've done since the pack's been replaced, and that's great numbers.
Oh, now along those lines, I wanted to mention when I saw. Okay, so the very first thing I saw didn't last long, but I thought, I wonder if he meant kilometers.
Oh,
not miles, right? But that didn't last long. Mm-hmm. But then I was thinking, I don't associate you with 30-mile rides,
no.
Right?
With your feet. Typically, no. My feet hurt at the end of it, for sure. No.
And like, you've ridden around that area before, but I think you've generally driven to that area, right?
I've ridden out there on the Monster before.
Okay.
And the monster, you know, it was fine on the monster. But I used the seat and all that kind of stuff, so.
But sometimes you've driven out there and then rode around, right?
Typically that's the way that we do it. But, a few times I've ridden from home.
So you are a 30-mile rider then sometimes. What's the longest you've ever ridden?
When I've done the my work commute, twice I've done that. It's 23 miles each way, so I did like... And I also took to the gym during that day, so it was about 50 miles for the day. But not continuous.
Yeah, that doesn't count. No, I'm talking...
Probably 35, because when I took the monster to Ave Maria, I went all the way into town. So yeah, that is like a 35-mile round trip. So yeah, 35.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Yeah, but I paid for it.
I did last week. Let's see, when was that? Sometimes the days blur together, but within the last 7 days, I took the monster for a 60-mile ride.
Wow.
That was a fun ride.
It's
about the longest I go.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, Marty. I'd scooter rider in chat. He has an 18L as well. He weighs 240 pounds, and he said that he did 30 miles not nursing it on an 18L, and he had 38% left.
Wow.
Wow. That's surprising that it would be that efficient.
Well, that's good to know, really. Yeah. I mean, all wheels are different, and who's to say they can't make more efficient motors, and I don't know. So that's good. I'm going to keep my eye on that and see whenever I hear people talk about how far they go and they're 18, I'll prick up my ears, and it's all pretty consistent.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. That's very similar numbers to what I got, and he weighs a lot more than I do, so... Cool. Dark Flame wants to know if an MSX can handle a 270-pound rider. I believe so. I'm trying to think what the top... Isn't it... I'm trying to remember what the specs are on the MSX as far as rider weight. It's more than it used to be.
You can't believe specs, though. I think specs in the UC world are meaningless, more or less. I mean, right?
Well, the Z10, I think, was rated for like a 300-pound rider, I think. Pretty sure. Which is scary, but
yeah,
the MSX going downhill.
Oh man, no way!
Yeah.
But the MSX, it's a beefy wheel. All the M Supers they come across as very stout, and so it's not like the pedals are going to break, and they have lots of power, lots of juice in the battery, and that can be an important safety factor. You want to have a lot of excess power in the tank.
Yeah.
And so I would say can handle it. I can't relate, so I can't say how fast the wheel would be, how responsive it would be. I got to think when you start pushing those kind of weights, you're gonna be a bit more gingerly in your riding. You're not going to attempt to accelerate too fast or brake too hard. You know, that's a lot of weight to be pushing on one of these wheels.
Yeah, I was just quick looking on eWheel to see if, I don't know if he has, he has specs, but I don't know that he has rider weight specs for the MSX. But I'm pretty sure technically that is within the specs, but I don't know how practically that would work out for you.
Yeah.
Okay, all Segway all the time.
Yeah, he has a question about where he wants to put his foot, huh?
Yeah, I bought a 9x1 and wondering on a pedal I'm supposed to put my foot. Well, I don't know what your opinion is on that, Marty, but I was always taught that you basically want the bracket for the foot pedal, like splitting your foot in half, more or less. That's
yeah,
more or less.
Kind of go by feel, really, and just... I don't measure it, but it kind of looks like my feet are more or less equal on the pedal, kind of hanging off on the front and the back, more or less about the same. Yeah.
I mean, when I was learning, I was real hung up on my foot position and stuff, and probably too much than I should have been, or more than I should have been. But I always tried to kind of split my foot on the bracket, so the bracket was holding my foot. That's a good starting point, at least.
Right.
Secondly, I bought two of them, both used, but one had over 212 miles on it. Okay. Is there anything I should be careful about? No. No, I don't think so. That's, I mean, 212 yeah. miles is not a huge amount of mileage, and a 9x1E plus is a very reliable wheel. So, yeah.
I can't think of any. When it comes to preventive maintenance, unfortunately, Gatway's the only wheel that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. In terms of opening up to see if the wires are burning and connectors are, what's happening. But like the Ninebot and King Song, I can't think of ever really. I have no desire to open any of my wheels, and the only reason I've torn mine apart is because I've had to.
Necessity,
but,
yeah.
I hope I never have to open the Z10 or my M Super. I still haven't opened that. I've had that since I got that July last year. I've never opened it.
Really?
So, yeah. Never had to.
Your V3S Plus?
Yeah, I don't think I've opened
it. Well, eWheels had to open it because it had the bad board, or the button that had to be flashed, right?
Yeah, so... That's it. Technically, it was I was standing over Jason as he was opening it.
But you didn't do it, yeah.
Reflashed it, and then he said, "Here's your brand new wheel." And mm-hmm. I took it, and it's never been opened since.
Yeah, I've only my V3S. I only opened it once just to make sure my wires weren't burnt up. A year ago, probably. I've never had to open it either.
But you changed the case in that, though.
Oh shit! Yeah, I did. That's right. That doesn't count as a brand
minor
new case.
Minor surgery.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, I did transplant everything in it. I forgot about that little thing. Well, that was from that was from riding backwards. That kind of damaged the wheel a little bit. So, Marty, did you see that? I talked about selling Cindy's In Motion on that YouTube video, and it was gone like that.
Yeah.
Next day, it was crazy. It was awesome.
Maybe that's one perk for having a YouTube channel. And
yeah, I didn't think it would. It
a
would
presence in the EUC world, yeah. Right?
No, it was great. All segue. What is this? Close to wheel spread. Oh, as far as your foot position on the pedal, like say this is the side of the wheel, and this is your foot. It's up to you, but I mean, typically you don't want your foot jammed against the side of the wheel. That will cause you ankle pain, and it will also limit your mobility. Pretty greatly. You want to have some space there at least. Yeah, and if anything feels dangerous to you, that means that it's not the time for you to be riding around people and things you could hit. You want to practice some more in wide open spaces.
Go with your instinct and really, really, before you start riding around any people, you should. Put it this way: if you're riding your wheel, and a car is coming towards you, or you're riding on a sidewalk and you see some people up front, and you get any sense of nervousness, like apprehension, you shouldn't be riding on sidewalks and you shouldn't be riding around people. Wait till it comes with time, and wait for a few months when you've developed the skills where you don't have to think about it. Like right now. And it's been this way for a long time. I just don't have to think about riding is like walking with me. I can just wherever I want to go, I go. People, cars, whatever. It's like walking. I don't have to think at all. Mm. And that's how you should be before you start riding around people, because people are very unpredictable.
Yeah, for your safety and for theirs, really.
You
want to wait.
I've had well, lots of various encounters. I've never hit a person, but this is kind of funny. I had one time it was during a group ride, and we're in a kind of a park area, and we're riding in this path, and there was a family kind of on the side, a little kid. When they had, I remember there was one little kid, like, you know, I don't know, maybe 6, 7 years old or, you know, something like that. And just at the, it's like they're watching, and he wasn't sure what to do. And at the last minute, and you would think he would just like, okay, he's not going to be moving. And mm-hmm. the last minute, he decides he's going to run across, like he's going to get away from me. But he runs across.
Oh right my
in
goodness!
That's why.
So how close were you when he did that?
Well, close enough that I had to, you know, put on the brakes
full
to,
break, yeah.
Yeah. And so odd. Hey. So my what was my other experience? Kind of related to that. So I learned from that kids are totally unpredictable. Mm-hmm. Even if they are standing on the side of the path, and you look and they look like nothing's going on, you really should just slow down and be very cautious, because they can just at the last minute decide to mm-hmm. to dart across the path for whatever reason. And
dogs.
Yeah, dogs for sure. But then I had an oldish lady. She looked like she was in her early 70s, maybe 60s, 70s, something like that. And two of them, they're on the side of the road, and same thing. They kind of turn and see me coming, and she darted across the path, like to get out of the way. But instead of getting out of the way, she thought that her safety was on the other side of the path for some unknown reason, like a kid, yeah. and like that's total strange. Unpredictability. Yeah. So when you're around people, expect the unexpected.
Always want to give yourself a margin of error around you.
Yeah.
Definitely. Let's see. Mr. Chodowski, CC Chodowski. I'm on day 5 with learning, and sometimes I get wobble. Will this go away with more practice, or am I doing something wrong? The short answer is yes, it will go away with practice.
Day 5 is nothing.
Yeah, that's very early in the process. I have wobbles for a very long time, and I still, you know, even experienced yeah. riders, you get wobbles from time to time. It's just a matter of how you react to them. When you're new, your instinct is just to kind of tense up, and it feels very unnerving when you start wobbling like that. And actually, that's the worst thing that can happen, because that if anything will accentuate the wobble. So it's just practice. That's all it is.
I definitely get wobbles now still, and mm-hmm. but the scary one is the wobbles of what I call the wobbles of death.
Like that guy in the Z10. Do you see the guy was it in the UK? He had a Z10 riding in a park on the grass. He hit like a bump, a root bump or something.
Oh, yeah.
Wobbled him down hard. He was going fast.
He's got some good videos. A few pretty interesting videos. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was a great video. Mm-hmm. But I'm not quite sure I'd say that was a wobble. That was more like he hit something and then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. It wasn't a speed wobble. It was just he didn't recover from it.
But I think we've all had the wobbles of death with the speed kind of. And I think what I do think generally what initiates is you hit some unevenness in the pavement. You know, something's off. Mm-hmm. And I had one in the Z10. It was the first one I had for probably over a year with Jason's Z10. Mm-hmm. I was last day or two I wanted to do some acceleration test. I was comparing it against my M Super X and my N Super. So I was just doing some acceleration test to a given point off in the distance, and one of those runs, I hit a little bump, and I was accelerating close to the 28 miles per hour max, and man, it started like that.
Yeah, I experienced some of the wobbling on that thing too, but yeah, it was a little scary.
This one was, and I was immediately, of course, started slowing down, and it wasn't stopping, and you just gotta like just relax, don't panic, mm-hmm. and just eventually when it gets slow enough, you can recover. And I remember the very first speed wobble I got like that just scared the hell out of me, because I'd never had that happen before. Mm-hmm. I had the little wobbles, but I was on a river trail going down underneath one of the roads, and again the pavement bumpy, and I was cruising. I was like, man, this is great, because it's early days, you know, mm-hmm. first couple months I've had it, and I hit some unevenness, and I got that wobble that it scared the hell out of me. Yeah. It's like, wow.
I remember when I was learning on my 9x1E Plus that I swore for a while that there's got to be something wrong with this wheel. Why is it wobbling so much? You know, I was convinced there was something wrong with the wheel, and it was just my lack of experience. That's all it really is. All it normally is.
Yep.
Let's see. Also, all segue all the time. Where are you guys from? Well, I'm in Florida, and Marty is in California. So we're 3,000-some miles apart. Dark Flames in Hawaii. Wow, it's early in Hawaii. Isn't Hawaii 3 hours behind you yet, Marty? I don't remember how...
Not sure.
Hawaii is.
Three to five, or... Yeah,
it's quite a bit.
Not that bad, just midday for him, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, Cindy popped, mm-hmm. popped in for a second. How did her bikini contest go?
Oh, she... hey, Cindy.
I'm sure everyone wants to know.
Yeah, I should... Let's see. If I can find the pictures I have of her, she was in two categories and she got first place in both of them. Now, granted, one category she was the only contestant in there, but she still did really really well.
Uh-huh.
She must be taking a shower. Let me see if I can find one. But yeah, because I never attended one of these shows before this last one. It's kind of bizarre.
I'm sure it was like pulling teeth to get you to go to a bikini contest. Huh?
Well, because I actually like felt almost embarrassed for these women at some point, because if you see the poses they put them through, I mean, they're literally just, I don't know, it's just it's weird. I almost felt myself blushing sometimes when I saw the posing.
I've never seen one in person, but I've seen them here and there.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
And of course, this wasn't a strictly, for some people who don't know what we're talking about, wasn't really it's not a bikini contest, it was a fitness...
It's a competition, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Competition, but in bikinis, I guess, right?
Right. Well, they had full-fledged bodybuilding there as well, but they also... Let's do this one. Let's see that. In a second, you'll be able to see that, Marty. That's two of her friends that competed, and Cindy in the middle.
Okay.
You should see it in the stream in a second.
Oh, in the stream.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. She's looking good.
Yeah. But it's crazy
quite a suntan she's got on there.
Oh, my God. I mean, she literally looked black. I mean, she's just so dark. And you basically are like that for 24 hours. They apply it the night before, and then they touch it up the morning of the competition. So, she has to be like that for quite a while. She actually is still trying to wash some of it off. She still has some of it left on her body.
Why does it have to be so... intense, I wonder.
Well, I think the color helps hide imperfections and accentuate things you want to accentuate, like, you know, angles and musculature and all that kind of stuff. So,
okay,
yeah. So yeah, she did well. She has two medals and two trophies.
Yeah, well, that's cool. She's going to do more of them.
I think so. It was getting kind of crazy with the last one because she was... She made the bikinis for herself and her two friends, and it was so time consuming. I mean, she literally is taking one bead at a time, and you're placing all these beads, thousands of beads probably, between all the suits, and it's so tedious.
Do they have to be? I don't recall. They have to be beaded. I mean, can they just be?
They're all very extravagant. Like if you buy one of these suits,
uh-huh.
You could spend like $400.
Official
competition bikini suit. It's kind of crazy. They got to be sparkly, they got to be beady, they got to be colorful, all that kind of crap. So.
All right, well, good. Yep. Congratulations to her.
Yeah, she'll pop back in again.
Okay.
So, anyways, so I'm looking at... I did a Google Doc. I don't know if you saw it or not, Marty.
I was looking for it earlier, but no, I didn't get an email from you.
Didn't you? No, it's shared. I shared it.
Oh, maybe I just didn't get the notification.
Yeah, probably. So. It's okay. Because, like, of course, my big thing EUC related is, you know, that I got my 18L back, and it was Jason turned around pretty quick. I think it was right around 2 weeks, and when it kind of came back, I also put the new firmware on it, the 111 firmware, which... It's funny, when you look at the firmware revision notes for 111, it just says bug fix or something like that. Nothing else, no details. It just is it's a bug fix. Plus. And I was actually spending some time on the forum, going through that thread on the 18L where they're talking about how some of them have that issue where when you're trolleying the 18L, it can overheat and lock up and all kinds of weird stuff. And I guess some right. people are turning off the lift sensor on the 18L to potentially avoid that. But if, the last thing I saw in the thread was it seems like Kingsong doesn't have a 100% accurate idea of what's causing that yet. I saw someone said something about maybe a cold solder join on a oscillator or something. Luckily, I haven't had any problems. I haven't had to disable anything on mine. I still have the lift sensor turned on.
I'd turn it off, though. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I like it. I mean, I like it, but I don't really need it, I guess, but I do like it. Let's see. I unlocked 50 kilometers an hour on my 18L. I'm hoping to test that out tomorrow.
Oh, so you haven't... Mm-mm. Pushed it.
No, like when I do the Dunkin' Donuts ride tomorrow, I'll wear my GPS so I have a good idea of speed.
That was very funny when you're riding
the music.
Music? you couldn't have timed it perfectly, and that's something.
that was the only one that I had the whole ride. The only please decelerate. It just I guess I was jamming out the Linkin Park too much.
Why the Kingsong? I wonder why does that have to be so abrupt? The Z10 has beautiful tiltback. It's real gentle, very gentle.
It's not gentle on the 18L. But see, the problem was because it was speed limited, I had the tiltback and the verbal warning both set to 40 kilometers an hour. So they're simultaneous. Now that the upper limit is 50, I have the voice warning at 46 maybe, and then the tiltback at 48 or 49. So... I can hopefully get the verbal warning before the tiltback hits. So,
okay.
But yeah, that was funny the way that worked out timing wise.
Yeah,
very funny.
Very really perfect. So so I guess that's it with the 18L so far.
Sure seems so good. I just had a bad battery. Evidently, according to Jason, that's the only one that he's heard of. I'm glad it's fixed. Yes, it's much better now. And I've never ridden with music. I know you've ridden with... You have that strap-on speaker, I guess, that you've had on some wheels, right?
I put that on different wheels, and then my KS14S has the speakers,
right.
which are really nice. And the Z has a working speaker, too, I've used.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Just it didn't work on the test model, but
cool. I've used it, and works good. But like you pointed out, all the speakers, even my strap-on speaker, which is much louder, they kind of get marginal when you're going really fast. So I
think wind noise would definitely drown that out.
I think they're best when you're just kind of going slow and not pushing speed. But I like them. I used on the KS14S during a group ride. We were trying to get someplace.
Oh, for directions.
Didn't quite know how to go there, so I used Google Maps to navigate there,
cool.
and then it was connected to the wheel. Mm-hmm. So we're riding along, and it's like the wheel's talking to you, like turn left up ahead, and
that's a good idea. I never thought about doing that. Yeah, that's a good idea. Cool. Let's see, sliming. Oh yeah, I watched your video about sliming, and I realized how badly I did when I tried to slime my M Super once, and I missed that little detail where you back out the valve core before you try to slime. So I was trying to force it through the extension, and
that must have been
obviously it didn't work very well. So I need to try it again sometime, actually taking the valve core out. But it's a pain though with the way that it is in the M Super, just the angle, you don't get good access to the stem. It's such a pain to do anything on that.
Yeah,
I hate that design.
Yeah, it's definitely the worst access. At least on the M Super X, they actually they fixed it. They put a cutout in the shell.
How hard would that be to do? I mean, it's so easy.
I know. Well, at least when Godway does these kind of things, it does tell you that at some level they are actually looking at what the complaints are.
Yeah.
In the community, because they do implement fixes along the way, so someone there is listening.
It's funny. Also, we all the time thought that you and I were sitting in the same room, Marty. I guess maybe this is...
Really?
No, look, I can't touch him. See, I can't touch Marty.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I mean, I guess if you glance really quick, you could maybe think that, but yeah, no, we are definitely not in the same room. Yeah, Marty and I live together. You know, we should save money that way. Have you guys tried the Leaf board? I don't know what the Leaf board is. Never heard of it. You ever hear of an LEIF board, Leaf, Marty?
I think I have, but oh, really? beyond hearing about it, no, nothing. Mm. Nope.
I've never heard of it. So, Marty, I want to ask you now about you know, your experiences with the production Z10 versus the test one that we had.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I saw your video, your climb video, and you mentioned in the comments that that wasn't... Did you take it to Overheat Hill yet or not? You haven't taken it to Overheat Hill.
No, I took it to the first very steep hill where it rolled down, the other
right,
one.
Right, right, yeah, okay.
Which kind of proves to me the power it has, and but I have not taken it over Heat Hill because the temperatures here are still unfairly hot relative to the temperatures when I rode the other wheels. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'm guessing in October, I'll take it up that hill. Just to see how it does, but my sense is it won't make it up to the top before it overheats. Mm-hmm. Based on some of the other riding I've done.
Yeah, okay.
But I have confidence that it's not going to blow a MOSFET. Like, you know, the thing with the Gateway wheels is if they're going to fail, you're going to burn up something in your wheel. Mm-hmm. With the Kingsong wheels, they're probably going to tilt back at you, and worst case, they're going to blow a fuse. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that happen three times personally. I've seen Kingsong wheels blow fuses. Mm-hmm. So that happens. And but the InMotion V10, I felt pretty confident with that wheel that no damage was going to occur. And then the 9-bot, all the stressing I've done on that thing, I feel it's going to safely, you know, shut down on you one way or another without burning up something.
Yeah, it definitely seems like it has a safety margin built in there that you're not gonna fry anything.
Yeah,
but I was really, really surprised that, you know, you said that you definitely noticed that it had more torque climbing, but I don't understand why that didn't translate into better braking. It's really strange to me.
I know it's a mystery, and I am not the only one. You know, personally, I know the guys in San Francisco who and I was there with Jesse when I handed it over, and we were riding around, and he took it down one of their, you know, very steep mm-hmm. hills, and he had the fear of God in him by the time he got down to the bottom of the hill.
Bad, really? Wow.
Yeah, he kind of had this wide-eyed look on his face at the bottom, like, whoa, that's kind of scary.
So, does it feel like it's going to cut out, or does it feel like it just is not going to slow you down?
It's not going to slow you down.
But it does. Or do you have to, like, really lean hard on it to
Well, it never got out from under me. Mm-hmm. But because you can feel, it's hard to describe on the Gateway. Every other wheel I've used, but particularly the Gateway wheels, they feel very solid. When you're going down a steep hill, they just feel rigid, like they're mm-hmm. you're full control. You know, and with this, it's really subtle. Your brain must be picking up on it, but it just feels like if you do not really keep control of the speed, it's going to get away from you, and you're going to lose it. And it's not just me. I'm convinced. I've ridden it various other conditions kind of like that, and it just does not have that same sense of control that you have. And some other people said, oh, you just need to learn how to control the wheel better when you're going down, to apply better pressure. Well, I was thinking about this, and I think the difference between those guys and what I'm doing is I'm not going down a nice smooth street right. or trail. Mm-hmm. I'm going down a bumpy, rocky path where I'm having to twist like this to maneuver around mm-hmm. things. And you try doing that at the same time you're trying to apply enough backward speed reduction to keep the wheel from getting out from under you, and it's not good, and bottom line. And I don't know if we're going to ever get any resolution from 9-dot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious if that's something that they can fix with firmware, or if that's just a hardware issue. Yeah. It's just going to be there. I don't know.
So I might as well talk more about Z10. I got a few notes here. Yesterday, I took it to Mount Wilson. We did a group ride. Surprisingly, we had a great turnout. I had 5 other guys come with me. So 6 of us went up a 4,600-foot climb.
But what type of wheels were present?
We had a Tesla. We had an M Super X. Had a M Super. And an ACM. An old ACM. Oh, an actual 840... 67 volt version. I've got a video that'll be coming up. He didn't actually make it to the top. He made it within about half a mile thereabouts, and he had to walk. And one of the other guys, actually there were two ACMs. Yeah, one of the other guys who had the new ACM 2, he carried it. So it's really fun in the video. See, ACM rider, he's riding and he's carrying an ACM.
Did it blow the original ACM, the 67 volt?
No. I'm sorry. He just ran out of power.
Okay.
Because going 4,600 foot climb is pretty impressive climb, and I know from experience that the 1,000 watt hour wheels can do it. And 840, I bet if he had an 84 volt wheel, a newer one, because his is like an old wheel that's got thousands of miles on it. Battery's probably not as good as it is, new. So I think 840 new ACM might make it, but yeah, he just ran out of juice. Other than that, it was great. Once he got to the top, when we ate lunch, and then when we came down, he had, I think, 25% battery by the time we got down to the bottom.
Oh, really? You regen that much?
Oh, yeah. It's that this hill, 4,600 foot climb hill, is a perfect hill for testing regen, which gets me to my next point. When so my objective to take the Z10 was, okay, am I going to have any issues power wise no, because I pretty much knew from my other climb that it has the power now. The Z10 has plenty of power for going uphill and stuff. Was it going to overheat? And it didn't overheat, not like the V10F that was overheating all the time. When Scott rode his up. The Z10, I should say, it was going to overheat. I glanced at my watch and I saw that it was at 79 degrees and it overheats at 80, so I stopped.
Oh, wow.
Now, but that's, I really don't see that's a big deal. That happened once, and I've ridden this hill 4 times now, and on every other time I've pulled over to stop with my gotways, because they were on the verge of overheating too. But like, there's this one section that's kind of long and it's uphill for a while. So to me, the Z10 is right in line with all my other wheels. So it's good, not overheated, it won't overheat, it's got power. But coming down where it regens, so I have yeah, I'm Android, and I have a Pebble watch, so that works on my Kingsong and my Galway wheels. But there's a new version of WheelLog that works with 9-bot now.
Oh, no kidding.
Which is great.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm running now. So it's really just so nice.
Oh, I think I saw that in your own video. You talked about that. Yeah. That is great that you can have that all integrated like that. It makes it so easy to monitor your wheel.
Yeah, no matter what wheel I'm using. So I'm looking at I was monitoring my temperature, and I can see my speed, temperature, and battery just by glancing. And I'm going down, and I had 28%. That was what I had at the top. So I'm going down, and it dropped down to 24%. But there was kind of some rough trails, and it was using power. But at that point, it stayed at 24% all the way down to the bottom. Didn't move.
Interesting.
Really odd. So when I got down to the bottom of the hill, I had 24%. Had not moved. Didn't increase. Everyone else, like I said, the guy with the old ACM,
25%. Wow.
He had about 5% up at the top. He had 25% down at the bottom. Hmm. Everyone else had recharge. Z10, nothing, which was like, wow, this is really strange. It's clearly getting regen energy to be able to drive the motor. Yeah. So as long as it's going down, it's free. But it sure would be nice to get some recharge, because other mountain trails I ride, you go up, you go down, you get some recharge, and then you can go back up, and you can extend you can get about one-third more range in mountain riding, from my experience, in all other wheels. But the Z10, it wouldn't do that. It
doesn't regen.
Turns out it does. So we had some communications on the forum, and one of the guys relayed an experience with one of the Chinese guys who had one, the pre-production one, noted that the recharge occurs on one of the batteries, which is really interesting. So I immediately went out to the workshop. I hadn't recharged it yet. Turned it on, used the Ninebot app, because before I was using the Wheelog. Mm-hmm. It turns out Wheelog uses only one of the battery.
Oh, it doesn't do them both?
No. Apparently, the API, the telemetry that's coming from the Ninebot wheel, only reports one battery.
Mm-hmm.
The low battery, apparently. So when I looked with the Ninebot app, you know, you might remember it shows you both batteries independently.
Yeah.
The temperature, everything.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the other battery had 48%.
So but only the other one had 24%?
The other one, right, so the recharge on the way down was all being pumped into one battery. So now I have the Z10 has unbalanced batteries.
Yeah.
One is 24%, the other is at 48%.
That doesn't sound right.
So that's just really odd. And I wonder what would happen if I was going downhill for a much longer period. Would one of them get to 100% and then what? I don't know. I pass this information on to Jason, just so maybe he can communicate with Ninebot to see what they might have to say about it. I did charge it last night, and in the morning, both batteries at 100%. So it's not like it broke anything inside, but it's definitely.
It'd be strange that regen would only be pumped to one of the two batteries.
Yeah,
that's very interesting.
That was interesting. A big finding.
Mm-hmm.
Another experience that I'm convinced now that I hate the power switch on the Z10. I don't know if you had the problem where it would inadvertently turn off because.
Oh, I commented on that. I commented on that when I had it, because I said that that had to be wrong, because it's like an instant on switch.
Yeah,
and multiple times I accidentally turned it on or off without wanting to.
Right.
I was sure that was a glitch that they were going to fix, because that's dangerous and annoying.
It's when you're trail riding, like yesterday we're getting off and on the wheels a lot. You know, you're a rough trail and you step off the wheel and you grab the handle, the wheel will turn off because you know you just touch it the wrong way, and it turns off.
I can't believe they didn't fix that. That's crazy.
I told Jason, ask them if there's any way they could just update the firmware, the next firmware, that have a long press. Doesn't every other wheel do that? Where you just
every other wheel. It's a safety issue. I mean, that's dumb.
Very annoying, yeah.
Wow.
And, along the lines with that, if you connect your... Did you ever... Well, you probably didn't, because the speakers didn't work, but you can pair your phone with, you know...
No, I didn't, because the speakers weren't working.
Mm-hmm. So my phone is paired with the Z10. Well, every time it pairs with the Z10, in this very obnoxious, highfalutin, British fake British accent, a woman says, "Bluetooth is connected."
Really?
I can't do British, but she does this.
A British accent, guys, really?
One of the guys yesterday said it's a Chinese British, a Chinese woman doing a British accent. It's really over the top.
That's funny.
And annoying and loud, and you can't adjust the volume.
So every time you're connected, that fires off. Yeah, that would annoy me.
Which means every time I turn on the wheel, because I have a phone with me, right? So every time I turn on the wheel, Bluetooth is connected.
Mm.
Nice and loud, so everyone can hear it. So everyone in the group ride they were having a fun time with me.
That's almost as bad as the King song, you know, the way the King songs used to always talk. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And they finally got that killed off, right?
Yes.
Hello, King song.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
So we got the same thing now with the Z10.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
One last thing with the Z10, which is very annoying, and I think they have to do something, is the calibration on the pedals is not holding. And I've read elsewhere other people are experiencing this.
You mean the angle?
The angle of the pedals does
not
really. And it might have to do with vibration when you're riding. Sometimes, actually, when I'm riding, lots of jarring motion in this rough trail riding, the calibration would shift.
Dramatically?
Enough that you'd feel like stopping and wanting to recalibrate. And I think I just definitely discovered if you have the wheel off and you turn the wheel on, but the wheel is like leaning against something, so it's tilted forward because that's how you've left it.
Yeah.
You turn it on, that's how it calibrates to how the wheel is sitting.
No way.
I had that happen last night when yesterday we're eating lunch, so the wheel was propped against a post, but at an angle. I turned it on, and it stayed at that angle. So I had to pull it away from the post and do a recalibration. So they definitely have something going on with the calibration that they're going to need to work on. And
yeah, because I mean the gyroscope in there should be sensing level. That's very surprising.
Yeah, and it's kind of I'll say it's not too much of a problem when you're actually riding it, but it definitely gives you an impression that it shifts on you, like between times when you ride it the next day, or you turn it on and it might not be level like you thought it was.
I don't remember that happening with the demo model. I don't know, because I mean there were times where I would turn it on, it was leaning on a wall, maybe pitch forward a little bit, but it always seemed to come back to level. Bummer.
So that's my Z10 stories. But besides that, I'm loving the Z10.
But overall, you're happy with it.
I love it. It's a great wheel. It's getting all my time right now. Still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's funny how when there was so much negativity coming out about the Z10. Everybody, including myself, was just like, "Oh, wow! It sounds like they really kind of missed the mark here." But it's nice that. They do actually have something that's competitive, speed wise, power wise.
Yeah, I think it's everything I've been mentioning is kind of quirks and,
Yeah, no deal breakers.
No, and actually the trolley handles than the production ones a little better than the.
Oh, did you put it on actually now? Because I know you didn't have anything on. Okay.
Yeah, I decided to put it on because trolley handle is pretty convenient, right?
Well, that mud guard is nice too. I mean, that mud guard does a good job. Yeah. I mean, you don't really ride mud, but. Block off everything.
I did put the mud guard on too because I like to ride sometimes through puddles and when I ride in the rivers sometimes and even yesterday riding the trail, kicking up tons of dirt and dust, and that mud guard was blocking it all.
Mm-hmm.
So I installed them and the trolley handle, it's stiffer, so it's not like wow better, but it's better than the ones that we try.
Yeah, that one was pretty flimsy.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to looking through chat here real quick.
We were
talking about your Bluetooth voice. Yeah, that would be annoying. If Gateway comes out with a Fat Tire Z10 killer, yeah, I would imagine that other manufacturers. Of course, I would expect Gateway to do it first. But they're gonna mimic that. I'm sure. They're gonna try to put a motorcycle tire EUC out there.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit about that yesterday. Some of us that thought was Jeff was mentioning that wouldn't surprise him if maybe the next version of the ACM that Gateway comes up might be a fat tire version.
Well, because didn't Jason say? I thought Jason said that the sales of the Z10 have exceeded Segway or Ninebot's expectations. So
yeah, I hope it's a I hope that really. They sell a ton of them because I want it to be around. It's a great wheel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really special wheel, and I think I'm becoming a fat wheels
mm-hmm.
because the two other wheels that I have that are kind of like the Z10 is the Monster. And the M10-3, and you have those two, and see if you agree with me. In both those wheels, the turning is different than the other wheels. The turning is more of a body, like the Monster is that way. The Monster Monster's kind of you lean into it just like the Z10 in a way, right?
Yep.
So like for both of us, the Z10 wasn't too difficult really to pick up on and to get used to.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if you can remember when you first got your Monster, it was like, whoa, this is...
I felt like I couldn't ride. It was, I couldn't even turn. It felt dangerous actually for a little bit.
But the slow speed maneuvering with the fat wheel, I think...
It almost wants to stand up on its own.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's great. So I think we're going to start seeing more fat wheels coming. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw what Hunka said here in chat, Marty.
No.
If Gateway comes out with a Fat Tire Z10 killer, will you be breaking your no more new wheels oath? No, you said till the end of the year, right? Well, that's not that far away.
No. I said a year from now.
Oh. So
my intent is not to buy any more wheels.
So what, until like August of 2019?
Yeah. If at all possible.
That'd be a miracle.
Yeah, I just have so many wheels and they're all so fun. I just gotta start using them more and these things do cost money, you know, and money doesn't grow on trees, so I'm gonna try and stay away from new wheels for a while.
Yeah, I intentionally did not add up how much I've spent on electric unicycles, skateboards, one wheels, Segways, mini pros. It's pretty staggering.
Don't do it.
No, I won't. No, I avoid it. Okay, let's see. What do I have? Let me see what else I have in my notes here.
Oh, I want to talk to you about Cindy.
Oh, what?
I thought it was funny that that video you made a week ago or something like that.
You said goodbye to Cindy?
Yeah, and Cindy said it made her cry.
Yes, it did.
Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she told me. I felt bad, though. I mean, since I didn't feel like I was on death's door, but I definitely did not feel good.
But it actually was kind of a... You're too close to it because it was your video, but it was kind of a sad video, that segment at the very beginning. The way you deadpanned it and said it, it was kind of like... it just came across very... Very honestly, like
working as intended.
tell her I love. I think you said tell her I love you.
Yeah, and I thank my subscribers too because.
Well, yeah.
It sounds bizarre, but I was just thinking to myself. Well, you know, if I drop dead on the track, you know, someone will probably find my stuff in the GoPro, and they'll find the SD card, and that'll be my message to the world. Luckily, it didn't work out that way, but yeah.
So that was. That was funny. Yeah. I just laughed when Cindy wrote that in the comments too. Then
yeah, well, she doesn't have time always to watch all my videos, and so sometimes she gets upset where she like she'll watch a video and she'll be like, "You didn't tell me this, or I didn't know this." Well, uh-huh. Watch the video, I guess. I don't know.
Well, my wife never looks at any of my videos. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I'm surprised.
She has better things to do in her life.
Hey, did you Speaking of your videos, did you cross 1,000 subscribers? Your growth. Oh, yeah. Did you cross? Oh, wow. That's
yeah, nice. I think I'm approaching 1,100 now. So
man, you're growing like crazy. So you can submit for monetization on that channel.
I already did. I actually
takes a while. I
actually was monetized.
Already? Back,
when Google.
Before, changed, yeah.
Remember they changed it, right? Well, before they changed it, I had this channel and I was monetized still.
Right. Well, I was too, on my second channel, because you only needed 100 back then to get monetized.
So then they stripped away, then I was demonetized. Mm-hmm. So I actually don't have to put in a request for it. It says right now it's just in review.
Okay, yeah, well, that's what was my understanding, is like once you cross those barriers again, it has to be reviewed, and they make sure that you're not putting out like sleazy content or whatever, and then they'll turn it on again. But that's great, though. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool. Turns out one of my I gotta fix it. I put music to some of my videos.
Yeah, I've seen them.
And but I put like I don't know what you call it, commercial music, hit song. I'll use. No, but
so yeah, some of them, yeah, some of your stuff is commercial music. Yeah.
So you can't earn any money on your videos when you do that.
No.
But you can use the music. So if you go to this is a little inside baseball here, but if you go to YouTube, there's a section where you can type in a song and YouTube will tell you if that song is available for worldwide distribution. You can't make any money. You can't monetize it, but you can use the song. So you can. You want to use a Stevie Wonder hit? You put in the song, and it'll tell you, "Yep, you can use the song. Can't make any money on it, but it's okay to use it." Hmm. Or you can use it, but your video will only be available in the United States. Or you can use it for worldwide distribution.
I've never seen that part of YouTube. That's interesting.
No, yeah, it's in the creator. You can search for it, but
it's one of the things in the creator studio.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so there's also a section where they list off a bunch of free music you can use.
Mm-hmm.
It's YouTube music that collaborators have made available. It's not commercial music, but you can use it.
I use that. Yeah. I've downloaded a bunch of the royalty free stuff. Yeah.
Right. But there is a related section in there where, and there's a vast, I would bet 80-90% of the world's music is actually usable on your channel.
Because it used not to be that way. Like early on, I had issues where stuff would get it would just strip the music out totally, and you would have a silent.
I had that happen to me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they changed it. Maybe you've heard that YouTube is apparently one of the largest distributors of music on the planet now. That's how a lot of people actually listen to music.
So
YouTube/Google has made deals with music distributors and whatnot for the music, but it's not 100%. So I was getting tired of having to go to this part of the website, find the right title for the music that I wanted to use. Sometimes I'm looking for a particular song and I get 30 different hits for that song, and I have to find the one that matches the musician that I'm using, and you know, and it will always come back and say, yeah, that's available. So I just stopped bothering.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to use that song. I just put it in my.
I noticed that some of your videos, you know, they had commercial music. I'm like, oh, wow, that's going to get flagged. But so it just gets. I knew it got demonetized, but that's long as it doesn't like get a negative strike against your channel. That's cool.
Yeah. But one of my latest videos, which is one of my better kind of music type videos, turned out that all three songs that I used were not part of the club. And
so what happened?
So they basically the video is right now blocked in the throughout the world. they don't strip music any the voice anymore.
They just block it.
The music. They just block the whole.
Hmm.
Because one of my subscribers told me that. He went to see the video again, and he said, hey, it's blocked in the world, so I got to go back and find new music for that video. Hmm. It's kind of a pain.
No, it is a pain. Bummer.
So, anyway.
Yeah, and also, I was worried that my video from yesterday might get flagged because, you know, there was commercial music playing, but I think I heard somewhere, like, if you don't have more than 10 seconds at a time or something like that, it won't get hit by those.
Yeah,
bots that listen for music.
Right,
Marty. Someone, Barl Sharpie was asking if you heard. He talked about this earlier. If you heard from Sid Wong about a firmware fix to fix the downhill braking issue.
No, Sid Wong. He's the president of Segway Ninebot, and he follows me on Facebook, and every once in a while he'll give a thumbs up, or he's written a few comments on some of my Ninebot stuff. So I made some comments, like all the stuff we've been talking about. I posted, and I put his name in there too to see, hey, you have anything to say about this? The only thing he did comment on the fact that it doesn't have good braking power. So I put that in a post, and he said, that's interesting. We didn't have hills here like that, or, and he mentioned, sounds like we need a firmware change or something. That's all you said. So I have no idea whether that's him typing in his pajamas someplace and he's not going to actually, you know, do anything about it. Because again, he's president of Ninebot Segway, so he probably has bigger fish to fry than to bother tracking down a little complaint that some American has about one of his wheels. But so,
well,
you know,
a valid complaint though. I mean,
but
subpar braking isn't a good thing. I don't think anyone wants that associated with their wheel.
Yeah, but maybe if I'm represent 0.001% of people who take their wheels and or how many people in San Francisco own a Z10? You know, it might really be a small percentage of the people.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, to answer your question, Hunka, no, he hasn't gotten back. But, and who knows? Yeah, who knows? Well, I guess we'll see with time.
Tim, who I know Tim, he's bought several of my stands. He asked about if we've heard anything from Jason about those new King Song pedals he was talking about in the last show. I have not.
No.
Nothing at all.
Jason's missing in action.
Mm-hmm.
He's out there. I got an email from him today regarding some of these things I sent him an email about, but it's like, I think I sent him an email almost a week ago. he got back to me today. I think he's
I've had that sometimes. So it's been a few days for stuff.
He must be so swamped.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he's successful in getting some help, because there can be a point where that can be a detriment, right? If you're a one-man show and you're so swamped that you can't get back, you can't become the helpful guy that you were in the earlier days, at, you know, some point it could negatively affect him. You know?
Or the business, it could burn him out. Yeah, it's tough. I guess he's still in Canada. I haven't heard anything different. I believe he's still in Canada somewhere.
Yeah, stranded in Canada, yeah.
I'm sure being in Canada this time of year is not so bad, but, you know, talk to him in January. I can't imagine it's much fun.
But I know he does have help. Like someone mentioned, he's, you know, Arizona. Like I asked him for I need to locate an extra tube for my M Super X because I can't put slime in my M Super X. I don't know if I mentioned that before. It reminds me of when you said you didn't take out the valve.
Yeah.
And well, I did take out the valve in my M Super X to put slime in, and I'm, you know, going like this to put, and it, the slime went down the tube and it stopped. Nothing. Like it's blocked. And I would try and try and try making a mess, and I eventually gave up, I think, and I've done some sleuthing on the internet, and I, this apparently happens every once in a while in the manufacture of the tube. I'm guessing what they do when they make these tubes is you've got this continuous tube of rubber, right? That, and somehow they join them together. And then when the valve is put in it, there's probably some machine that punctures a hole.
Yeah.
And the valve is glued on. So I think what happens periodically is that process where they puncture a hole isn't actually completed successfully. So there's a kind of a hole or a slit that opens under high pressure,
like
from
a flap.
Yeah. So when I'm using my compressor or my hand pump, there's enough pressure to get air through that. But if I'm just using hand pressure to squeeze some slime, it doesn't budge. And so I gave up. So I don't have I'm screwed if I get a puncture in the M Super X. I'm going to have to replace the tube.
You know that they do have pressurized slime. You can buy slime that has pressure.
Is it actual slime? I've seen.
I think so. I saw it at AutoZone, I believe. Yeah, it was. They had regular slime like what you were using, but they also had pressurized slime that I think is designed more for like an emergency roadside repair. So it blows past the valve.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that might work. I don't know.
I thought about that, but it's like it's a can. You can't see what's in it. You can't know how much you're supposed to put in. And I, like you say, I think they're meant for cars. So you basically kind of empty the can into the car tire. Well, I can't empty one of those cans into a EUC tire.
No.
But I would have
much.
I have no sense of how much to put in. But I think for now I've just given up, and I'm going to get an extra tire from Jason. Oh, and that I've just mentioned that because he just commented that he does have some in, and he's going to get one of the guys in his Arizona facility to track one down for me.
Oh, okay.
So he definitely has people working for him.
Yeah, I wonder how many. Well, he's at least one that did.
Yeah.
Did mine. Hey, Marty, just a heads up that I have to try to get out of here by about 9:15. I actually have a work meeting that I have to, conference call that I have to go into. I just found out about. So.
And what, is that like right now?
Like 5 minutes, I should sign off and I have to get into this meeting.
Let's see if I had anything I wanted to get to real quick. I forget. Well, this is kind of a. Did I mention about the guy who got his head squashed last time?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you did. And so there's a comment from someone on the stream that thought you were kind of cruel for laughing at the guy getting his head run over.
Well, I wanted to say I thought about. Unfortunately, I thought of you and that guy when I saw today's video from yesterday. I guess when you were riding your 18L and you were on a 2-lane road and talking about the bus going by.
Yeah.
I was thinking that's a kind of a scary road you're on right now. If that wheel cuts out on you, you fall, you hit the wrong way, and there goes Duff.
Had the bus on one side, and the other side was a canal that probably was filled with alligators. So I didn't have any good exit points. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think about that sometimes.
Think about that, but yeah, that is. Well, you never know.
When you're riding in a spot where you have, if something were to happen at that right instant, it's not a given that you're going to fall right straight.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. They asked how you did, and I said you won. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Cindy did just shower. She's not dressed appropriately to come on camera right now, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, anyways, yes. So I did not die, but that was bad because it's just a 2-lane road. Bus probably going 60 miles an hour on the other side, where there was a truck. So the bus didn't didn't give me any room whatsoever. So the wind is something like that passes you in a close proximity, just that can kind of throw you around. So
most people who ride by you give you a lot of space, and it really is frustrating sometimes, right, when a car or someone goes and it's like they give you no space. They
there's
just
no reason for it. Like there's nothing next to them. They're just don't give a shit. They're not paying attention. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes they get a salute for that. Well done. So okay. Well,
all right.
Anyways, Marty, I'm sorry that like I said, I just found out about this. We were doing an upgrade to a major application at our office. For those of you who don't know, I'm in the IT industry. I'm the network administrator for our office, and it's been running an upgrade on this application for 48 hours, and it hasn't finished. And our office is closed tomorrow, obviously, but this has to be working by Tuesday. So we have a call with the vendor to say, hey, this has to work. So we're going to figure out what to do.
And you guys made the wise decision to do this on a Labor Day weekend too, huh?
Well, that's part of the reason, because we knew it would take a while, but it shouldn't have taken this long. So, we got to figure it out.
So you might be working tomorrow instead of riding, actually, huh?
Well, I might, remotely. That's a nice thing. I can do most things remotely, but...
okay.
Yeah. No, I'll be riding. Don't worry. I'll get my ride in.
Well, we'll look forward to your Dunkin' Donuts ride video tomorrow, then.
Yeah.
Yep. Maybe.
Yep.
Okay. Well, have a good one, Duff.
All right, you too, Marty, and I'll see you in 2 weeks, if not sooner.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks, everybody.
See you guys.
See ya.